Psalm 103. Would you turn there with me? And if you need a Bible, there'll be some ushers that will give you a Bible if you want to follow along. You also have your smartphone or your tablet like I do. I'm in good shape if the tablet works. During that little film clip, I thought I put in the right password and I didn't. I thought, oh, I'm in trouble. Don't have a paper copy. But I put in the wrong password. So Psalm 103. Psalm 103 has been an important psalm to me in my life, and I'll talk about that more at the end of the sermon. But it's one that is just filled, and we're not going to talk about everything in the psalm this morning. We're going to do four major points to get the flow of the psalm, and you can go back, and I trust that you will look at it during the week. My premise of the morning is our lives will be filled with praise by reviewing God's work. And that's really the focus of this psalm. Review what God has done, and it'll cause praise to well up in your life. And that's why I call it a lifestyle of praise, or a praise-filled lifestyle. And I believe that's what God wants us to have. In Psalm 103, it starts out, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then at verse 2, "Bless the Lord." And it goes on, you see, "Bless the Lord" in other places. The word "bless" here is not, you know, often we talk about, well, that was such a blessing. And it's very passive. No, in the Hebrew language, Paul is giving a command. Baruch, bless. Lift up your voices to the Lord and recount what he has done and give him the credit, give him the praise. And if we do that, our lives will be changed. I'm going to read the entire psalm to you in just a moment. And as I do, look for the references about Christ in it, because Christ, this psalm is filled with references to Christ and the work that he's done on our behalf. We are intentionally going to use two messianic psalms, the two Sundays before Easter, leading up to the celebration of the resurrection of Christ. But in all these psalms, there are references to the Savior, if you look for them. And I trust that you will. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's look at this and follow along with me, if you would, as I read it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Everything that we are, might it bless him. Might it give praise to him. Verse 2, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. For don't forget what he's done. Who forgives all your iniquity or your sin, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 6, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Israel, his acts to the people of God. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide. That is, he's not going to criticize you all the time. He's not going to poke at you all the time. He's not going to say you're wrong all the time. Nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, and nor repay us according to our iniquities. That deserves a praise of the Lord right there, doesn't it? For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. There are other places in Scripture where that is very clearly a reference to Christ. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we were dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it's gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. He comes back to this theme. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Can you say that with me? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Or as the Jews would do it when they were worshiping God, they would raise their hands to him and say, bless the Lord, O my soul. You do that with me? Bless the Lord, O my soul. See, that's a sign of submission and recognition. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's pray together. Father God, remind us this morning. That's really what this psalm does, is reminds us of what we have in you and who we are in you. And so, Lord, teach us this morning. Well, how do we learn how to bless the Lord? First of all, we learn to bless the Lord by reviewing our personal testimonies, what he's done in us already. The benefits that we have. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of his benefits. What are some of his benefits? It says that he forgives, he heals, he redeems, he crowns, he satisfies. And again, it's a reference to Jesus, because without the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, none of that would be possible. He took our place on the cross, and as a result, we can be healed, redeemed, crowned with righteousness. What is your testimony? Is your testimony something like mine, where I gave my life to Jesus Christ at age 7 in a Bible school setting, and he has been with me every day since? Even when I wandered astray, he was there. Even when I didn't follow him clearly, he was there. Always prodding, pushing me to come back to him. He was there. What's your testimony? For some of you, you've only been a follower of Jesus for a few years. But as Kevin, our new pastor, said, what we as a church is to be a church full of disciples who make disciples. And to be a disciple, you be a follower of Jesus, and you obey him, and you experience what he has for you. And to make disciples, you share what your testimony with others. And I can tell you, your testimony will transform others. In just a few weeks, actually a month from today, we're hoping to have a baptismal service, where you can publicly acknowledge your faith in Jesus Christ. And we know that there are a lot of you who would like to do that, but you're not filling out the application, which is so simple. We get the information. You haven't talked to a pastor. Would you please do that? Maybe even today, go to the Connect table and do that. Because it's in baptism where we testify We don't receive salvation through baptism, but when baptism, we testify that we've already received it. We go under the water to recognize that Christ died for us and he buried our sins. We come out of the water to recognize the very fact that in Jesus Christ, we have new life. Review your testimony. Review what God has done for you personally. And if you do that on a regular basis, I will guarantee that your life will be filled with praise. Secondly, recount your past blessings. In this text, verses 6 to 12, he talks about what God did with Israel and all the wonderful things God did to protect Israel and to provide Israel so that Israel would be the nation out of which Jesus would come. And he planned it all. He planned every last segment of the Jesus' lineage that we read about in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapters 1. And if you look at that text, there's so many things it says that God did, but they're really only what Jesus could have done because of the cross. Reminds me of the old song that we often have sung, especially at Thanksgiving time, but other times, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You see, I think, and I believe we can support it scripturally, that we're not people who are positively filled with praise because we don't review what God has done for us personally, and we don't recount and recognize what God has done for Israel, for his people down through the generations. And when we do, we are filled. We are encouraged by what he's done. Third, recognize our present help. And this has such great application to so many of you here in our church. No matter what you're facing, he is your help. That's with a capital H. All of us are moved by the testimonies of those who experience the faithfulness of God. And so many of you have had that very experience. We have many, many in our congregation who have cancer or other life-threatening diseases. We had somebody last week who had a stroke, didn't know she was that sick. If you saw her here today, you would think, she didn't have a stroke. Yes, she did. God took care of her through that stroke. Too often we turn around and complain about the smallest things that are going on in our lives and not recount the blessings. Recognize the fact that he's helping us every moment of every day. Last fall, Karen and I got away for a couple of days and went up to Duluth. I don't know about you, but we love Duluth and the North Shore. I mean, who doesn't love it when you hit the top of that hill and you look out and you see the lake? Isn't that beautiful? And we had a couple of days up there, and then we came back, and I had a University of Northwestern College board meeting on Thursday and Friday of that week, and so we decided, since that board meeting was in Roseville, that we'd stay at our daughter's in Hugo. That's just north of White Bear Lake. I'm surprised how many Minnesotans don't know where Hugo is. Of course, we go there all the time, so I guess we would know, right? Then on Saturday morning, after the board meetings were over and everything, our plan was to go watch our grandson play football and then watch our granddaughter play volleyball. And we were very excited about that. We got in the car with plenty of time to get to the football game, which was first. And we drove from Hugo and got into downtown White Bear Lake, and all of a sudden the car started to sputter. And every warning light on the dashboard came on. This is not a good feeling. And somehow we got off the street and pulled into a parking lot, stopped, the car stopped, and it wouldn't start again. Found out later the alternator was gone. So, as every good senior citizen does, who needs to have a little bit of security, we called AARP, road service. This is not an advertisement for them, but we have more than gotten our expenses out of AAR road service. It's paid off for us. Maybe it's because we have older cars, I don't know. And we called them up, and I talked to the gal, and I said, told her what was going on, and I said, when can you have someone out here to take us in to get this fixed? Thinking, oh, it'll be soon, and we can get it fixed. And at that point, I didn't know what was wrong. Thought it was something minor. She said, well, we could be there in an hour and a half to 2 hours. So much for that football and volleyball game, right? Ended up to be over 2 hours. Well, my wife, and I'm sure this will shock some of you, she likes to shop in gift shops. And about a half a block away was a gift shop. And when we found out how long it was going to be, she said, I think I'm going to go look at that gift shop that I've wanted to look at for a long time. I said, okay, I'll stay here. Well, she was gone, and she was gone, and she's gone. I thought, I better walk over and see what's going on. She was fine. She was just looking at everything. I walk into a gift shop. I've seen it all. I'm back out again. Did I hear an amen from some other gentleman in church? Yes, amen. But she did find something in that gift shop that today hangs on the bathroom wall in our bathroom. We have two vanities. Hers is over here, mine's here. And there's a wall here that's right next to the shower. And I don't know why she put it on that wall, but she hung up that plaque on that wall. And here it is. Good morning. This is God. I'll be handling all of your problems today. I do not need your help, so have a great day. I get to look at that every morning. But isn't that what he's talking about? Recognize his past help and recognize he's going to help you through today, no matter what it is. Somebody said, well, you could become very passive with that and not do anything on your own. No, you can't. Just recognize that the outcome is going to be controlled by God. He's in charge, and whatever comes out of it, it's okay. Recognize our past help and praise him for it. Even the fact that we were smart enough to buy AARP road service, God gave us that. We got the car to the shop and got it fixed by the next day. Wasn't fun. Didn't mean that we didn't do some things, but he had it under control. Is that the way you live your life? You can, and you can praise him in the midst of that. I wasn't happy to miss Ethan's football game and Emma's volleyball game, but he was in control. And I recognize he was, and I follow him. The next section, reverence the sovereign God. Praise begins with exhortation, the exhortation to praise him, and it ends up the same, it ends the same way in this section, praise him. Why? Because he's the sovereign God, he's in control, and it all comes from him. When what he has done should drive us to our knees and lift us to our feet in praise. What God has done, it should be natural for us to say, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, praise his holy name. He's in control. But it does something else. As I was thinking about this over the last couple of weeks, I started thinking about the family that I grew up in. And I started comparing it to some other families that I know. And I realized that in the family that I grew up in, on the Hamill side, all the aunts and uncles, and there were seven of them, my dad and six siblings, two are still alive, one has dementia, so only one is of a right mind. But every one of them were people of praise, and they were very positive about the way they lived their lives. Very positive. Now, where did that come from? I attribute it to the fact that it was became a tradition in the Hamill family that on New Year's Eve, Grandma Hamill would read to everybody Psalm 103. And she read it in a way that she didn't need to comment on it. This was a woman who had come to this country with her husband from Holland when they were young adults. They'd had a tough life on the growing up on a farm or raising some children on a farm. He had become a pastor. They didn't have much, but somehow they went to school. We have a book that's written by my aunt of all the tough things that he went through as a pastor and as a church planter. And they had this positive spirit about him. She was a woman that had had three mastectomies and cancer didn't kill her. Back in the days where chemotherapy and radiation wasn't what it is today. And they developed these children. Three girls and four boys who were all positive about life. My Uncle Bob, or Uncle John rather, was dying of cancer in his later years. And he lived in Reno, Nevada. And there was a group of people that on the west coast, the western part of the country that I had to meet with periodically. And since I was in charge, I always called those meetings from Reno, Nevada. I figured they could drive or fly, I had to fly. But my ulterior motive was to go spend time with Uncle John before he died. I never once in all those months of him dying from liver cancer, which is a horrible way to die, never once did I hear him complain that he was sick. Just the opposite. He praised the Lord for the years that he'd had, and he looked forward to being with Jesus. That's what happens when you become a person of praise. Can you imagine if Trinity Church was filled with people who are all people of praise? Can you imagine the different spirit the energy, the excitement of being part of a church like that. You say, well, we're pretty good. Yes, we are, but we're not that which God calls us to be. He's called us as a church, as individuals of the church, to be people of praise. And our first response is, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And a church like that will encourage people who are walking with the Lord, and it will encourage those who have not yet put their faith in Jesus Christ for eternity to come and experience the same thing we have. Amen? Wasn't much of a response. My friends, may we be people of praise. People who are attractive because we are so different in the way we face life and face eternity. Because we're obeying God and we're calling others, and we become then disciples of Christ who make disciples. Say it again with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let's pray together. Father, this what we're talking about includes our worship times, but it doesn't limit itself to our worship times, where we understand that we're to be people of praise. But rather, Father, it calls us to live this way as a lifestyle. That whatever we're going through, we still have our testimony of how we came to faith in Christ. We still have our testimony of what God has done down through the ages of people who followed him. We still have our testimony of how you're helping us today through some rugged waters, and we've got many people in our congregation who are walking through rugged waters. But we bow to the sovereign God and say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, I believe a church like that will not only have encouraged people, but it will encourage others to follow Jesus. And so, Father, once again, bless the Lord, O my soul. And may it be all that is within me that blesses his holy name. Amen. Amen.